So hello, everyone, and welcome to our ERC Elite segment on educational segment on this month's topic, which is muscle, bone, and alignment. And it's really the musculoskeletal system. And I'm excited to share this with you because I know that, you know, we talk a lot about our biochemistries and our nutrition and herbs and all that, but we don't really talk a lot about the musculoskeletal system. And it's a fascinating piece, and it's super important to be able to maintain. Yeah, we've talked about bone, but really, what about the muscles, and what about all those connections, and how can we look at that from a more holistic perspective? When I look at how is the typical medical doctor trained in the musculoskeletal system, and it's really not, it's not a very comprehensive training. I have a lot of friends who are, or friends of the family who are medical doctors, who are always asking me about different things because they're basically taught to look at this, look at that, and then prescribe an anti-inflammatory or a muscle relaxer. I mean, okay, what else do we prescribe? An anti-inflammatory or muscle relaxer, as opposed to so many other things that can be done with dealing with musculoskeletal stuff. And it's super important because we need to keep our muscles strong, because strong muscles help to keep the bones strong. How do we do that? Especially if we've been injured. We need to look at the bone health, and the bones are important for holding the skeletal system together, but also for the internal organs, right? And the bones start to weaken. We don't get as much support for our, basically our organic pieces of the body. The alignment, that's something that's not taught in medical school, to really look at alignment, and having been trained in the chiropractic model of looking at the alignment of the spine and of all the joints, because that's a subtle thing that can be a problem that isn't really looked at, a subtle misalignment in a joint that can be very helpful to get resolved, and knowing what practitioners or how to do it yourself in certain situations. And then there's a lot of hands-on therapies. There's chiropractic and physical therapy, and there's others that can help to move things. And there's also energetic ways to align things. And I'm also going to talk to you a little bit about some recipes that support your bone health. So it, has anybody been through this section before? Has anybody gone through any of this? Nope. Okay, cool. So we'll get started. You have a little bit, Sarah? Yeah, good. So I want to show you what we have here and then answer any questions you have about how it's applicable to you and how we can put things into action. So the very, this is just a one-parter, isn't it? Yeah, it's just a one-parter. So it's pretty straightforward, and we've got a, let's see how long this is. I think it's like an hour, 57 minutes. So it's just under an hour, and we cover a lot in here. And so what I want to do is take you through some of the things that are in the slides so that you have an understanding of where we're going to with this. And then I want to open up for questions on how can you get the best support, and how can I best support you in making sure that you're doing all this. So I start out with giving you some things that can go wrong with your musculoskeletal system. Like, what is it that you might be noticing in your body? That you might be noticing stiffness in certain areas, you may be noticing pain, you may be noticing that the range of motion in certain areas is different. Like, say this arm goes up to here, but this one goes all the way up to here. What's going on in that joint? And sometimes it's not that subtle, right? That obvious. It may be subtle, like there and there, but people aren't really noticing it until it becomes a real issue. Like, I can't reach behind my back to scratch it, or, you know, I can't reach around. I can reach on this side, but I can't reach around there in the car, other ways. Pain, of course, is certainly an indication that there's an imbalance in your musculoskeletal system, but also weakness. Right? The ability, like even a grip strength, sometimes it's, you go to grab something and it, you can't hold onto it, which is on the other side, you can. And the thing about this, though, is we always have to be looking at, is the problem with strength related to the muscle? Or is it related to the nerve that supplies the muscle? So sometimes there's like a compression going on in your neck, and so the nerve supply to the arm or the hand is interfered with. And so you may not be able to hold as much in your right hand as your left hand. And you may think it's muscles. I just have to strengthen the muscles. Give me one of those little ball things and I'll squeeze it, or one of those wrist grips and I'll squeeze it. But in reality, we have to look for, where is compression going on? And the other thing is fractures and old fractures and how they may impact you later in life. So obviously, if there's a broken bone, we usually know about it, although sometimes there's something called a compression fracture, which maybe you have in a certain area that's very tiny, and it actually doesn't show up on an x-ray, and it just shows up as like mild pain for 3 or 4 weeks, and then it goes away. But it's really important that if we do have fractures, that we're looking at making sure that all the alignment goes back into place, right? Just putting a cast on an area or holding it, and most people don't even do casts anymore. Most orthopedics don't do them anymore. They usually use some kind of brace or immobilization device. But once you do that, then you create muscular imbalances there. So it's really important that the rehabilitation after a fracture is done well. And, you know, you look at it by looking at your posture. And most of us don't evaluate our own posture. Actually, the other day, I injured my right foot slipping on a wet spot in a restroom at a ballpark where I was there with my son. And I went down and my foot hurt and I was walking around. And yesterday we were coming through the airport and I was limping, but I was pushing my suitcase. And my husband said, wow, he said, you know, I know you're walking on this, but I could tell that you're hurt because your posture is off. Like she said, he said, usually you have the best posture of anybody. You're like, everything's perfect and your shoulders are back and all, but you're kind of hunched. And I went, ah, okay. I didn't realize that my posture was off to make up for a foot injury. And of course, at the time that I injured it, I'm sitting there going, oh, did I break this? I don't know. Did I sprain my ankle? So I'm doing my own little evaluation. And I want to teach you a little bit about how you can do some of that yourself so you can sort of identify where the problem might be. And so I'm doing this whole evaluation and the person in charge there is like, should I go get first aid? And I'm like, you know what? I probably know more than the first aid person's going to know about. I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to evaluate it. I'm going to figure it out. And then when I'm ready, I'll put weight on it. And you know, I was able to do that because I have the knowledge of how things work. If you just bang something, a lot of folks go to the emergency room because they think they may have fractured something. But there's a lot to do with how you injured something versus and how it presents to know whether it's that way. You can also evaluate muscle and joint and all that by blood tests. There's certain bone markers. There's certain markers in the blood that will show if there's a muscle muscle injury, and then of course bone density to do the bones. And I'll share with you a few of these things, and you can watch the whole full presentation on it. So what are some of the nutrients? Some of them are the ones we've been talking about all along, which makes sense, right? Magnesium is a relaxing, and then calcium is a contractile. So within the muscles, there's fibers that contract and relax to create movement. Calcium, you know, generally does the contraction. If we have more calcium, too much calcium, we can end up with a condition called tetany, right? Because it's over contracting. If we have not enough magnesium, we can have a situation where the muscle doesn't relax. So it's determining, is it too much calcium or not enough magnesium that's causing this particular muscle spasm? And there's ways to differentiate if you know it. Potassium is involved in muscle relaxation as well. The amino acids that are involved in the skeleton, and this is important when you're trying to either rebuild after an injury or rebuild when you've gotten a diagnosis of osteopenia or osteoporosis, but also just as a course of action to prevent loss from the skeleton. Proline, hydroxyproline, leucine, and isoleucine are the main amino acids, which leads us back also to, in order to have a healthy skeletal system, we have to have good stomach acid. Most people don't make that connection, right? Most doctors' offices aren't going to make the connection between, well, you keep fracturing these areas or your bone density's low and their stomach acid. But we do because we're looking at things functionally. Chondroitin chondroitin and glucosamine are both in the connective tissue, and they have to do with the strength of the connective tissue and also in the disc structure. And you'll probably see sometimes people say, oh, take chondroitin sulfate or glucosamine sulfate for a problem with arthritis or things like that. And there's some good studies there. And vitamin C is important for structure, but also for inflammation and relaxing inflammation. So going back to that initial injury, it's like, Do we need an anti-inflammatory or do we need a muscle relaxer? Well, vitamin C can function real well as an anti-inflammatory, whereas magnesium can supply the muscle relaxation without the side effects of medications. And the manganese is super important for rebuilding collagen tissue, right? The collagen is what holds the joints and the tendons and also the disc spaces. Super important, and a lot of people overlook the importance of manganese, and it's in a lot of collagen support supplementation. So then we look at alignment and posture, right? It's real clear that between these two folks that one person's hunched over, and as a result, the belly's sticking out. And some people don't realize that they don't have a big belly. They just have poor posture until somebody points it out. Because when you slump, your belly naturally comes out. And so it's important for us to maintain good posture so that we don't have some muscles that are tensed and some muscles that are not. And over time, those muscles that are lax because of poor posture end up staying lax and they're weak and they don't support. And a classic example of this is as women age, mostly men get this too, we get what's called a dowager hump in the neck, where you see this hump. And my mother-in-law was a classic example, and she was like this. It started as she started to age and she was scared of tripping and falling because she'd done that a couple of times. And she just walked like this. And eventually she couldn't raise her head. So the way she could see straight forward was to go like this, right? Because she couldn't straighten it. Because when we keep a certain bad posture for any length of time, it reinforces itself and it stays that way. And it takes a lot to be able to get you back into normal posture. So it's super, super important that we have the good posture and alignment. Spinal alignment, to give you a picture of it, we really have an S-shaped spinal curve. So some people have a straightened spinal curve and some people have what's called a hyperlordosis, right? So if we look here, she's actually got this, she's going forward, but her neck is not showing that S curve. It's just leaning forward. So it's important that we maintain that alignment. And that alignment developed when we were little babies, right? First, we just laid there like lumps, right? Then we figured out how to turn over. And then we got up on all fours. And in order to get up on all fours, in order to be able to see forward, you had to learn to do this. So the first curve that developed was that cervical curve to lift the head up, right? But now we still have a straight back and we have the curve. And then we learned to get up on, and stand up. And then the back curve, it's called the lordosis, the cervical lumbar down at the bottom is called a lordosis. This curve is called the kyphosis. And the women who are walking around like that are hyperkyphotic, too much kyphosis. So it's going forward, the back's going forward, and we're not getting that nice alignment. Throws off all the muscles. So if you tend to find yourself after sitting at the computer for too long, and maybe you're sitting there like this, right, that you have certain pains and maybe on one side versus the other, it has to do with the strain that gets put on the musculoskeletal system as a result of this. One of the things that good to know is if ever you do get pain in weird pain distributions, like, that's weird. I have this pain distribution in my thumb and my pinky, but not the rest of my hand. There's this, what's called the spinal nerve referral system, right? So the spinal nerves, who can I put close? Let me just check. Somebody's making noise. Manage participants. All right, I think we got it. Yeah, somebody had some noise happening. So each of the spinal nerves, they come out between the vertebrae, and there's seven in the lumbar, and there's seven in the cervical in the neck. Then there's 12 in the back, the thoracics, and then there's five in the lumbar. And nerves come out from each of these, between these. And those nerves service our organs, but also our skin and our muscles. And so when there's a certain pattern of distribution, you might notice that if I ask you a question, if you say I have a pain here, well, tell me a little bit more. I can estimate approximately where in the spine that might be coming out based on the pattern. And then I may take somebody through a series of tests to see what makes it better or worse, so I can actually figure out what tissues might be involved. And that's what's involved in doing a good exam if you have something. From your own perspective, having a chart like this can be helpful because if you're having pain in a certain area, you go, look at that. That's related to C8. I got this pain right across here. Oh my God, that might be when the C8 nerve comes out between the last cervical, C7, and the first thoracic, which is T1. Isn't that interesting, right? So maybe there's something going on in my neck. And oh yeah, I slept wrong last night. Now I have a stiff neck. Maybe that's what's causing this. But these also, we won't go through this in this presentation, but these nerves also supply various parts of the body. So sometimes when we have a pain that's related to our gallbladder or liver, it might refer up to the right shoulder because the nerve supply is similar to the nerve supply or the same as the nerve supply that supplies the right shoulder. So it's really helpful. And I don't want you to, you know, you're not here to study how to be physical therapists or chiropractors or whatever, but sometimes it just is helpful to think that if you have a pain, like some people, oh my God, I have a pain in my left arm. I must be having a heart attack. Well, no, maybe you slept wrong and you've got something going on in your neck that's causing a referred pain into your arm. And this is, I just gave you this so you can see what all those are in combination. So you have some self-care tools. It maybe feel like it's too complicated when you look at this, but you can actually look to see where these various nerves go. And if you have a pain in an area that's served by this, the muscles are served by one of these other areas, like what other organs might be involved with that. And it goes both ways. So if there's something wrong at the spine, that spinal nerve can contribute to a problem in the skin, in the muscle, and also in the organ at that area. But sometimes if there's a problem organically, it will refer back to that part of the nerve in the spine, and then also to the skin or the muscle area, which is why, like, somebody's having a heart attack, it refers into the left shoulder and sometimes up into the neck and the left part of the jaw, and the gallbladder the opposite into the right shoulder. So it's a fun chart if you want to have it just as a handy dandy reference if you're suffering from any kind of musculoskeletal stuff. So let's talk, any questions about that before I go on? Any questions about that referral? Is that TMI or is that okay to have? It's good? Yeah? Okay, good. So let's talk about muscles. This is a guy with this perfectly developed body. We don't see very many of those, do we? Except in specimens in a class. But let's talk about some therapies that we can use for muscles. So trigger points. And I'm hoping that I have it. I'll have to look to see if I have the link. If not, I'll add it to the page. There's this really great book on Amazon that's like for self-care for trigger points. So trigger points are actually spots in the muscles that when you press them can refer pain to other areas. So sometimes you can look up, like say you have some pain, you know, that's really strong in the back of your elbow and it just radiates down into your hand. It could be related to this trigger point that's not even at the elbow. It's in the muscle in the back of the arm. Right, there's one here, it's not shown on this picture, that's in the back here of the spinal. It's called the infraspinatus. And when you have a trigger point there, it can actually radiate down into your hand and seem like it's a carpal tunnel syndrome. Right? So knowing this and being able to like self, I don't want to use the word diagnose, but self-assess yourself if you're having pain patterns will help, especially if you're trying to get some relief. Because if you go to the doctor, they go, oh, you have a pain here. Great. You know, no, nothing's broken. I don't think there's a tumor. Here's some anti-inflammatories or muscle relaxants, because that's really what they've been taught. But there's so much more. And trigger point therapy is amazing. Now, I have these books. I don't know if I have them right here. I'm on my shelf across the way. But two volumes set by Travell and Simons. Travell was in her 80s when she wrote this book. And she was just getting in there and mapping it all out. And this is just this beautiful book. And it's really not for the lay person. It's really for somebody who knows their anatomy, physiology. They're very big. But this woman, I can't remember her name, but it's a book you can get on Amazon for like $12 or $14, and wrote this beautiful book for how do you look at your body? Where is your pain distribution? Where can the trigger point be? And then how can you treat it yourself? Now, obviously, if it's back here, how are you going to treat it yourself? Well, there's these canes that you can get called the Theracane, and you can actually has a knob on it, and you can poke yourself and start to use some of that to get relief. So I think it's a highly, it's a good book that everybody should have on their shelf. I've mentioned it on a few calls before. So here's some examples of the trigger point referrals, right? So there's this muscle called the subclavius. It's underneath the clavicle, subclavius. And look at the pattern. It goes all the way down into the arm. The darker area is where it usually is strongest, but everybody's a little bit different. So it can help you to figure out, like, wow, yesterday I was having this pain somewhere in, I don't remember where it was, but I thought that's from lifting my luggage and all. And I started poking. I'm like, oh, it's right here. So you can get in there and do these techniques to release it so that you get better control. Like down here, the psoas muscle, right? The iliopsoas is deep underneath your abdominal organs, and it comes from your back and then goes to the middle of your leg. But the referral pattern is pretty large. Right, so that's something you can do, and the way they treat it in this trigger point therapy is manual pressing on it of the muscle, but also they can needle it. They can either needle it with saline or needle it with an acupuncture needle. I've done that with people, and it can get tremendous results from chronic pain that's been there for years. So if you're dealing with any chronic pain patterns, especially, I highly recommend that you get this book and study it and see what you can do and either work on treating them yourself or go to a therapist. Go to a trigger point therapist. Look for a massage therapist or a chiropractor or a physical therapist who has studied this myofascial therapies. Any questions about that? Yeah. Sarah.
What is the name of that book?
I'm hoping that it's in my reference list, but if it's not,
I have so many of those trigger points, man. That would be a great idea.
It's a great book. I'll look to see when I finish going through this if I have it on the page. If not, I'll look it up on Amazon and I'll find the link to you. It's a great book. And when I discovered it, I was working with somebody who had a lot of this stuff going on. And she didn't live real close by. And I'm like, with trigger point therapy, you need consistent care. It's not like just you do it once and you do it 3 weeks later. You really want to do it almost every day if you can. And so she was coming and, you know, it was cost prohibitive for her. And it was a long travel. And I found this book and I said, get this book. So she got the book and she started doing it. And she started doing it every day and sometimes twice a day. And within a week or two, she was fine. So I lost myself a good ongoing patient, but that's my goal, right? Is to make everybody independent so you don't need me anymore. So it was great. And she just felt so empowered because she could take care of it herself.
Yeah, instead of just having my massage therapist or a physical therapist do it once a week, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Not to say you don't want to go to them and have that because it really does feel good to have somebody else do it. But in between, and then go for it's not going to feel good when you do it yourself either. Just saying.
Right. I mean, I'm willing to go through that.
Yeah. So exercise is super important, right? We know that, but you want to keep your muscles moving to keep them strong. You know what happens if you have an injury in an area and you protect it and you don't move it very much? It stiffens up. Right. And then when you do get up, like my foot, I had to keep moving it because I was hurt and I knew that it was going to stiffen up, and I kept moving it and I kept manipulating, massaging it, mobilizing the joints to keep it loose. But when I went to bed, I got up this morning, it was like, oh, I forgot about you. You're not quite well yet. And so I had to really move a lot before I got out of bed to make sure that I wasn't putting weight on it. But that's what happens. And so it's really important to keep them moving, you know, to keep your muscles strong. And they do the pulling on the skeletal system, and that causes the skeletal system to get stronger. So weight-bearing exercise is super important for prevention, but also reversal of osteoporosis, as long as you also have the eating for bone health piece that we talked about in another segment, that all the nutrients and the chemicals that you need. You know, and muscle atrophy is really bad. If muscles atrophy, then you have a difficult time moving those specific areas, and the bones can actually get weaker because the muscles atrophied. If ever you've broken like a calf, they used to put people in casts, right? So I broke a foot. It's called the fifth metatarsal on the side of my foot. It's like if the toe, say this is the toe, it's right there. And they put me in a cast up to my knee. and I was 17 years old, and I was in there for like 4 weeks for this little tiny metatarsal. These days, they don't even do anything for them. Maybe tape it a little bit and tell you not to put full weight on that part. Well, when I got that cast off, and it was summer, that was even worse. Not only was it white and gross looking, and the skin was all, but it was so skinny. It was pathetic. And what that did was, it wasn't just the calf. My upper thigh, my quadriceps got weak because I wasn't doing as much weight bearing on it. And so they don't do that anymore. What they do when there's broken bones, unless it's a displaced bone and it really needs it. But even then, when I had my arm surgery because it was a displaced fracture, they had me moving it as quickly as they could. No push-ups, you know, I was allowed to do that. But they had me moving it as much as possible. And when my first son broke his arm, and when he was 13, fell off a bike, they put him in a full cast for like 3-4 weeks. My second son did the same thing, same arm, same bone, and they put him in this removable brace. They said, you know, be very careful, but at the end of every day, we want you to take it off and then just very gently move things to keep it going. No lifting, because we don't want to break it again. No lifting, and move it. Now, he didn't have atrophy. My older son had atrophy. His rehab was so much quicker because they didn't immobilize him. And they even said, as soon as you can touch that spot and it doesn't hurt, you're done. You don't even have to come back. So cost-wise, my older son's cast, between the visits to put the cast on and then take it off and all that, cost us like $1,300. My second son's broken arm cost us $150. Like, huge difference. So it lowers the healthcare costs. It improves the recovery time. We have to keep things moving and keep oxygenation there. Okay. And, you know, so I just wanted to reinforce in here and talk about it in this presentation that it's not just about losing weight with exercise. It's about all of it. So here's the list. We've gone through this in the Eating for Bone Health, but this is what a healthy bone looks like. And this is what a osteoporotic bone. You see the difference? You see how much darker? Those are empty spaces. Those are porous spaces in the bone matrix. And this is a nice, strong, healthy bone. And we want nice, strong, healthy bone as long as we can. And so all the stuff we've been talking about throughout the whole program, there's reasons for it beyond blood sugar control, beyond dysbiosis and gut control. It's for your bones as well, right? So the Eating for Bone Health guide goes through a lot of this stuff. So important, 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 the nutrients, but also your acid-alkaline balance. Because when you're eating acidically or getting stressed and there's acidic residue in the blood, it's got to get neutralized. And if you don't have enough of these alkaline minerals in your diet, it's going to grab them from your bone and it's going to weaken your bone. So it's super important, all the things we've been talking about up till now. Same thing with this minerals. This is just taken straight from the Eating for Bone Health. And there's generalized amounts. Not everybody needs to take all of these, but you want to look at what are your food sources, right? There's lists of food sources. Are you eating the food sources? Are they things you can eat, but, you know, you don't have an allergy to it or something like that? And if not, then we add some nutrients like silica, 5 to 20. Silica is abundant in horsetail and nettles and alfalfa. It's abundant in other foods like bell peppers and tomatoes and cucumbers and other things that you probably eat on a regular basis. So that's a really important piece. It's not just about calcium. And a lot of people are trying to keep their bones healthy by following the recommendation of eating 1500 milligrams of calcium every day, not balancing it necessarily with all the other nutrients that are super important. And maybe some of them you have excess of and some of them not enough, too much of. Excess is the same as not enough. So there's the bone building nutrients in terms of vitamins, right? We know about D and K and that we need both. But C is important, and your B6, B12, B9, also important for what? Homocysteine maintenance, which is important for your cardiovascular system and your brain. And then vitamin A. And some of these are important also for thyroid receptors. So there's like so much crossover between the different areas of your body. So keeping it nice and strong is a good thing. Of course, your omega-3 fats, your protein. So 60 to 100 grams per body weight, per pound of body weight. And we got to look at this, like if you're a weightlifter and a bodybuilder and you're you know, huge things and you're trying to grow muscle, you may be getting, you know, closer to the 100 grams. And also if you're just, you know, an average person, 60 grams, this is not per body weight. It's like there's a formula, but based on your body weight and based on your activity level is so important. So those of us who, you know, maybe weigh between 100 and 130 pounds and, you know, a 5'2" to 5'6" woman, we may need only 60 to 70 grams of protein a day to maintain good, healthy bones. But you got a guy who's 6 foot tall and is doing a lot of weightlifting may need 100 grams a day to maintain good, healthy bone and muscle. So it's all different. And probiotics, important for your bones as well as everything else. So these are my favorites. The nettles, the horsetail, alfalfa, oat straw. You've heard me talk about these. Red raspberry leaf is good. Peppermint, red clover. And what I tend to do is I keep a little shaker in my kitchen. And I buy by the pound the nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, oat straw. I use peppermint in other places, but those are the ones I mainly use for bone. And then I grind them down. With the horsetail, I don't anymore grind them down into a powder. I just put it in and make a tea out of it and then add the tea to a smoothie. But with the nettles and the alfalfa and the oat straw, I can just sprinkle it in from my salt shaker, right? So when I'm making something, I can just shake it out. And then when that's finished, then I go and I just grind a little bit more down in the Vitamix. So it's really good. I mean, it's so tasteless, which is good, right? Usually we don't think about food being tasteless being a good thing. But when we're adding these very nutritious things to things, we don't want them to have a strong, like straw-like taste to them. And they're very easy. And I've even added it to desserts. Right? And I say all that. I store it in a dark glass container, etc. And then some of the foods, and one of them that's super important that's been studied with bone health is prunes. You may think, well, I thought prunes were for constipation, right? But prunes, it's a lot of prunes, 9 prunes a day have been studied and shown to reverse osteoporosis in like 6 months. Now, we have to be careful and make sure that it doesn't raise your blood sugar. And I haven't actually tested it. Since I've been testing blood sugar, I haven't really eaten prunes, but I'm tempted to because they don't tend to be as high glycemic as, say, raisins or dates. So you can play with that, is add a prune, add 2 prunes, add 3 prunes, and see if you can do some good work with getting yourself up to speed. And plums, you know, the dried prunes are actually dried plums, but you'd need more. It's harder to eat 10 plums. I'd be pretty full. Right? And then, of course, you have access to the Eating for Bone Health. So, you know, keeping your musculoskeletal system strong is super important. And I think that it's something we all should be focused on. Let me see if I can go back here. Should be focused on every day, right? Not just like, oh, I have osteoporosis. What should I do for strong, healthy bones? Where did it go? That's back to my login. I don't want to log in again. Okay, let me see. Maybe I could just go backwards from this. I think my computer is ready for a reboot. I think maybe if I just close this one, then it will open the one that I was there before. Hopefully it didn't log me out. So like all of these, I have action steps for you. Well, that's not it. Let me open this one. It logged me out again. I don't know why it keeps logging me out. Maybe it's this one. Okay, here it is. There we go. Great. All right, so you have a transcript so you can see what it is, or you can play the video. It's 57 minutes long. So there's a checklist that you can use to work through. There's your posture. You know, look in the mirror. Stand to the side. One way to check your own posture is to stand against a wall. And then if you're standing with your back against the wall, all your parts should touch, right? So if you're not, then that's something to work on. So if you stand against the wall and you're touching in your low back but not in your upper, then you work on that posture. Work on bringing your head back. Work on, if it's the low back that doesn't touch but your head does, work on bringing that back. And we can work on posture that way. When you look at yourself forward facing, there should be a line ear to ear. It should be straight across. The shoulders should be the same height. The hip should be the same height. And I oftentimes, that's what I do my first part of an evaluation with somebody to see what's going on with their musculoskeletal is I have them stand and then I'm drawing these lines, right? And so when I have them to the side, your ear and your hip socket should line up. And if they don't, then you're off. So some of the stuff you can do on your own. You can check your own orthopedic testing. You can take your head and you can turn it to the right and turn it to the left. Turn it to the right. Can I go as far to the right as the left? You can have a friend or family member help you. Can you go as far to one side? Does it feel stiff or tight? Does it like go crinkle, crinkle on one side but not on the other? Then you want to look at maybe the opposite side. So if you're going this way, something on this side may be restricting you, like a tight muscle or a tight muscle here in the what's called the sternocleidomastoid muscle. If the same thing going forward, if you can go all the way down, with no pain, and then you have problems going too right about there, it starts to hurt. That could be the back of the neck. There's these joints between all the levels of the spine, and there's these things called facets. They're these little little bone protrusions. And if they're the skeletal muscle or is out of alignment or the spine is out of alignment, that's going to press on the structures and cause some pain. If any of those actually causes a shooting pain down into your arms or hands or down your spine or a tingling or numbness, then there may be some compression on a nerve. And that's something you should have evaluated. Have it evaluated by a chiropractor or a physical therapist. I don't highly recommend mostly going to an MD for that kind of evaluation because, again, their training in that area, unless they're specifically an orthopedist, is not very thorough. Like I said, a lot of my friends will come in, what does this mean? I have this pain here. And I explain to them, or how would you do an exam if somebody said this? And I explain to them how I would go about doing that exam. So you want to see, and the same thing with your back. Can you touch your fingers, your tips of your fingers to your toes? Can you put the balls of the palms of your hands on the floor? That's super flexibility. Some people just don't have that flexibility. They have a lot of muscle bulk and can't do that. When you go down to one side or the other, is one side more restricted than the other? When you turn at the waist, is one side more restricted? Do you feel, whoops, I just got a spasm in my upper back. So I probably have something that needs work, like in the middle of my back where it started to spasm when I turned this way or that way. So you can do some and get some general ideas. And then this book, which I'll look up in a minute and I'll give you the name of the book, can be very helpful in eliminating some of those trigger points, right? So these are things to do. Watch the eating for bone health. Then there's the eating for bone health assessment. So assessing for bone health issues and really addressing that, avoiding the bone weakening foods and adopting an alkaline diet for bone health, bone strengthening, make bone boosting recipes, and then exercise, right? Exercise, we have all the stuff for you. One of my favorite books is Strong Women Stay Young. And it was specifically Miriam Nelson there. And it's very quick exercise routine, 20 minutes. You require some weights for the upper body and these ankle weights for the lower body. And you'll be so surprised at how quickly your strength builds when you just follow this 20 minutes a day thing. If you want to only do it 2 days a week, that's 4 days a week. If you only want to do it 2 days a week, you can do a 40-minute workout where you do upper and lower at the same time. But I find for a busy schedule, doing 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in 2 days later or a day later is really good. And it works for men too. It's not just for women, but it's very specific exercises that help to strengthen the musculoskeletal and the bones. And she did this comparison. She had a study where she was funded and it was put into one of the medical journals. And she had a mother and a daughter in the program. And the daughter was a marathon runner. And she's like, mom, you know, she's going to do it for her mom and with her mom just to, you know, just to do it. Well, they both got evaluated at the beginning and the daughter was like, well, I don't need to do this. I'm just going to keep doing my running. And mom did it. And the end of the program, they reassessed and the mom was stronger than the daughter. And the mom was like 25 years older, right? So, and her bone numbers were better. So it really does work because it works out the entire musculoskeletal system on those exercises. And there's that. There's a progress journal if you want to do it. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I am going to look up on Amazon. And I'm going to find the name of that book and we're going to add it to this page. And I think it's a super, super great book. Okay. Oh, my computer is definitely not looking good. All right. So we're going to say trigger point therapy. Trigger point therapy workbook. I think this is it. Claire Davies. I'm pretty sure this is it. When I ordered it, I was so fascinated by it. I ordered 2 copies. I'm like, I'm going to give it to somebody. Somebody's going to want this book. So trigger point therapy book. Okay. Where is it? Who has a foam roller? Anybody or knows what a foam roller is? Yeah. You find that that's helpful for you to keep your body loose? There it is. I love the foam roller and I can feel that it adjusts my back. It's good for, you know, breaking down muscle buildup. Like if there's a lactic acid buildup in the muscle, it helps to break that down as well as it just helps loosen things up. So before you do any exercise routine, you get a foam roller, you roll on it. You can roll on it on any part of your body. You can roll on the front part of your thighs. You can do it on the back of your calves, the back of your thighs. You can do it on your back, your low back, your middle back, your neck. You can do it on the lats and you can roll up and down on it. It's like having a massage therapist in your own home for much less money. So it's $12.49 still on Kindle and $20 on paperback. Let me give you guys the link to it. So it's Claire Davies, C-L-A-R-D-A-V-I-E-S, The Trigger Point Therapy Workbook. Okay. Trying to get the link. I'll put the link into the chat. Oh, it's a big, big link. Oh, it has all those extra goodies on it. Just click on that link and you'll get in there. It's so worth it. And let's see if we can look inside. It's so worth it and it's so easy to follow. Let's see if there's some pictures. And she shows you like pictures so you can find your distribution and then which muscles are most likely going to be contributing to it. And so you basically become very self-sufficient and you get to do this therapy at home on a regular basis. And she shows you tools that you can use. But my computer's not cooperating very much. I'm going to put that link into my own. Well, I'll just catch it from the chat and we'll add it to the page. There we go. Okay. That was just booting up one page. I don't care about that. I want to see some of the pictures. Let's see.
Because I might need tools to get to some of these places back there.
You know? Yep, absolutely. And then she shows you, like, there's this thing called the Theracane, and there's things that have different knobby things, and she shows you all the different tools so you can get to any of these points.
That's awesome.
All about the trigger points. She tells you the history. Let's see if there's, I don't know. Ah, like here's a sample of one of the pictures. And she shows you what it looks like. And, you know, this is what the trigger points look like. But then when she shows you the pictures, you can actually go, oh, yeah, mine goes down that way. You know, and you can kind of learn. You don't have to learn the whole body. You just learn the areas that you need. Talks about the whole anatomy behind it, too. But let me just see if I can get to. I don't know if they show. They don't show everything in these. Yeah, they don't. Oh, well. Yeah, but it's well worth getting it. And I would get the physical copy of it rather than the Kindle just because it's easier because you can draw and you can highlight and you can have it handy. It's easier to have it handy when you're trying to work on yourself. And the tool, one of the tools that she recommends, I'll show you those. If we go, it's a Theracane. Theracane. There we go. Self-massaging tool. right? And they have all these different knobs on them, and you can reach to different areas. Some of them come with little charts and stuff, right? So you can get one of these to be able to reach. See, there's a guy doing it, right? He's reaching to different spots. Isn't that cool? She's going into different spots, right? And then if you just look up massage tools, so that was called Theracane. If you look up massage tools, so you can actually get a little ball. It looks like a tennis ball, but it's actually a slightly different density, and it's really good for holding up against. I think I have one here. I used to keep one at my desk all the time, and you can actually put the little ball up against the wall and lean up against it to get different parts of your body. Let's see if we have one of them here. I think there's all kinds of things, you know, you can just play around with. These are good too. I looked at those. I was thinking about getting one for one of my sons because he gets a lot of issues. Trigger point ball. Oh, and for people, if you have any issues with your feet, like what's that thing called? Plantar fasciitis. This helped my husband so much. We would put the ball on the ground and he could roll it, but I also got this roller. Let me just say trigger point tools. See if we can. Right, so there's different kinds of balls that you can get. The ones with the knobs I haven't used, but I've used something smoother like that. And I don't know if you can see it on this picture, but it has like a roller that you can use if you have like feet pain and you want to help yourself with the feet pain. Let's see. Anyway, there's so much. I mean, with Amazon, it so makes it so easy. Trigger point ball or roller. Let's try that. True point ball massager. Look at all these cool things. There's so many things. Ah, something like that. Not quite like that, but he was rolling his feet on. Like, see how she's rolling her foot for pain in the feet? If you tend to get pain in the foot, this kind of thing would work well for that. You can also lay on the floor and roll different parts of your body on these things and really help yourself to work out some of these points.
That's great. Thank you so much. Because you told me about the balls once before, but see, now I know, you know, more what I need and where all this stuff is.
Where it is, right? And then you can work on it every day. And, you know, a lot of times you go, oh, I'm going to forget. You're not going to forget. You have pain and you know how good it's going to feel afterwards. I had a ball. I wish I had it right here. I think I actually stuck it in my suitcase and I took it with me because it's so easy to do that. And so if I had a problem, I would use it. And that foam roller, I love the foam roller. There's that one, and then there's the smooth ones, and there's also a longer one. I actually have both the wide one and the small one, and I use them for different body parts. And it's super, super helpful. I'm going to go down and do it after this for my foot and kind of roll it on my foot. Yeah. Is that helpful?
It's awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay, let's stop share. Anybody else? I'll add some of the tools and stuff to that page because I think it would be helpful to have. I'm really about empowering you to take charge of you, right? Personally, when I was doing a lot of physical manipulation, I didn't want to see the same people over and over again and do the same things over and over again. I was like, boring. I want to teach them how to do it. The other thing, and I'll add that to it too, is you can get yourself your own ultrasound machine. And this helped a lot. Like if you have frozen shoulder, you have restricted motion in a particular area, ultrasound is one of the best things to get deep, deep inside the joint. But it takes doing it regularly. And one of my client's friends had torn her shoulder walking her dog, and her shoulder got into that frozen shoulder thing where she couldn't get it past here. And I was working on it, and every time she'd come over, I'd do the ultrasound and the massage, and she'd get a little further. But it wasn't quickly enough. So I said, and she lived far away. She didn't want to come, you know, drive a half an hour every day to see me. So I said, go get an ultrasound machine. She found one for $150. And I've recommended this to a lot of people, and you can just work on it yourself. Well, obviously, if it's in the middle of your back, you're not going to be able to work on it yourself, right? You have to have somebody else do it. But a lot of areas, like the shoulder or like the knee area or the calf, just read the instructions carefully about the precautions. You have to make sure you use the ultrasound gel. Otherwise, you can ruin the unit and you can burn. And you have to keep it moving, especially over bone. Because if you stop it and you go, oh, well, let me have a conversation, you will burn yourself in the periosteum of the bone because it goes that deep. And it goes so deep that I've sometimes shown people how deep it goes. I'll rub it up and down their hand. I'll say, put your hand here. Like, so if I'm rubbing it here, I have them put their hand here and they can feel it. That's how deep it penetrates. And if you use something like a peppermint oil or wintergreen oil or menthol kind of cream, and you put it on and then you use the ultrasound gel, it actually drives that medicine, if you will, into the tissue, and it helps it to heal. And I remember doing that to myself one day. I'd had a whiplash. I had, you know, been in a car accident, and I got him, and I put the peppermint oil on my neck, and then I put the gel on, and I'm massaging it up and down. And then the next day I'm like, why do I feel like I didn't wash the peppermint off? You know how that like kind of cool feeling you get from a peppermint on your skin? And I was like, how did that happen? I took a shower, but it was because it drove it deep into the tissue that the inside of my tissue was feeling the warmth and the cool at the same time of that chemical. So you can drive those things into your tissue with the ultrasound, and it just feels good. I had one story with myself where I had injured my foot. I sprained the same foot I just injured again when I was chasing after my son when he was 3 at one of those playscape kind of things, those indoor playscapes. And it was like annoying. And I kept like massaging it and doing this stuff to it, and nothing helped it. And one day, about 2 years later, I'm like, this thing is still here. Why can't I get rid of this thing? And I took out my ultrasound machine, and I did the ultrasound machine once on it, once, and it was completely gone. Now, that's not typical that you do it once and it's gone. But I've had this experience several times myself where I go, duh, why didn't I do the ultrasound? And so I gave my husband my ultrasound machine because he hurt his hip. He does martial arts and he'd hurt his hip. It was hurting him for a long time. I said, just do the ultrasound on it every day and do the heat. And I taught him how to do this. And he started doing it, and his hip got better after it hadn't been better for a long time. And then we were on vacation and he was away. So he was gone for like 10 days of not doing the ultrasound. And he says, oh, it's starting to get a little achy again. I said, just, you know what to do. Just go and do the ultrasound on it. So there's a lot of stuff you can do for yourself for self-care of your musculoskeletal system.
So what about, I put a link in there for an acupressure pen. What about stuff like that?
Let me see. Yeah, that's awesome too. It's like a laser pointer type thing, right?
Looks like there's a bunch of different kinds you can get.
Yeah, let me see. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And those can actually, you have to know what points to work on. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Those can be great.
$60 makes it sound like a toy to me, but there's some other ones in here.
A particular frequency that really helps. You have to know the points, right? You have to go find a good acupuncture point. And guys, in the I think the last one is the electrotherapies. Let me see. Let me go back. I think that's the only one we haven't done yet was the energy medicine kind of thing. And in there, I talk about acupuncture. Where is it? Bioenergetics. So we'll talk about that. That'll be our next one, our last one, I think. We'll do the bioenergetics, and I talk about that. And I'll actually show you now if I can share my screen again. But we have a whole bunch of good resources in there. And I talk about Korean hand acupuncture. And that laser pen will work really well for treating those points. Let me show you real quick. Share. I won't give it away. We'll do it next month. Here we go. Yeah, so this one is our next one. And there's some really good charts in here. This is probably about an hour as well. Oh, it's an hour and 3 minutes. Slides. Then I have a list of modalities and the various things you can do. So these two are very much connected, but it's more of an energetic therapy than a dig in and do. And that's what that is, Jay. It's more working on the energetics and the meridian system. So I think there's some pictures of your acupuncture meridians and then the technique. And then there's these electroacupuncture things. There's auricular therapy where you can treat points on the ear, and that thing that you just showed me, that works well for doing that, or those little pellets do. But and then you can look and see what where those are. So this is the Korean hand acupuncture. So you can actually find spots on the hand that correspond to a spot that you're hurting in. So Sarah, if you're having trouble with your mid-back, you would look at these charts and you would find the mid-back, which would be on the back of the hand. This is the front of the hand. Let me see. The back of the hand, right? So you say, oh, my issue is right here. So you start poking around on your hand there and you find that tender spot, and you can either put one of those little pellets on it, or you can use that electroacupuncture thing to treat it. So anyway, there's that. And then I think there might be, then there's the feet. You can use it on your feet. There's the touch for health. We'll go through these next time. I think there might be another one with the acupuncture. Yeah. So if you look up, like if you're wanting to know what to do with a pen like that, for example, my son, when he was little, we were on vacation and he woke up in the middle of the night, like crying, and his neck hurt, and he had these big swollen lymph nodes in his neck. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? I poke around, his ear hurt him. I said, oh my God, he's getting an ear infection. So I took out that pellet thing and I worked on that pen thing, mine, and I worked on his different points that were related to the ear. And some of them are in the feet and some of them are up and some of them are around the ear and in the neck. And I had to go through the whole series twice. And by the end of the second series, he fell asleep. He woke up the next morning. He was fine. The lymph nodes were down and we went snorkeling. So it can work really quickly and it can work really effectively. And if you wanted to, you can look up acupunct. You can find an acupuncture points chart. They're all over the internet. And you can actually find one that's like user-friendly for not an acupuncturist, but a real person, that you can find them and how they relate to different areas. So that could be very helpful as well.
So I found another device here, $90. It says a beep tells the meridian.
Really? Let's see. Did you put it in the chat?
No, not yet.
Yeah, put it in the chat. Let's see. So it may be detecting the higher frequency that are at the actual meridian points. Let's just see if it's just a gimmick or if it's real. Oh, yeah, that's the one I have. I have one just like that.
Leewell?
Yeah, I have. And it basically does. Wow, I spent a lot more money for it years ago. These things keep coming down. But, yeah, that works really well because it does. It goes beep, 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 beep when you get on a meridian point. You could treat that.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also a book, I have it right here, that works really well with that. Let me see if I have it right here, I think it is. It's called Simply a Safer Way. And there may be better ones now, but this is one I got many years ago. And it just goes through, it's really for self-care. Fully illustrated, simple to use, how to use electroacupuncture techniques. And it shows you how to work on different areas. So this, I just opened it up. It says Bell's palsy, facial paralysis. And it gives you specific points that are set up that have been found to be useful. I mean, certainly not as effective as a real acupuncturist, but this is self-care. So if you have an injury, you have psoriasis, they even have cough, cystitis, they have all kinds of things. So it's a nice little book. That's meant for, you know, for a lay person as opposed to having to, you know, go spend 3 years in acupuncture school. So Simply a Safer Way. And that, I got this with that unit. So yeah.
Yeah, I typed that in.
Amazon, Simply a Safer Way. Maybe they only, let me see, Simply. Let me get the author. It's a Dove Alliance product. Center for Complementary Medicine. Let's see. Let's see. Okay.
Yeah, it didn't really come up with anything. Came up with Mastering Acupuncture, Safe No Needle Electroacupuncture, $80 spiral bound.
Whoa, that's expensive. Let's see. Oh, here it is. No, oh, mastering acupuncture. Safe, no needle. It looks like the same look. It has that blue and then it has the pink. I wonder if it is.
Maybe it's out of print.
Maybe it's out of print, or maybe this is a newer version of it. Maybe this was expensive and I just got it ring bound.
20 used from $16.
Or it's 20 used from $16. There you go. It looks like it's a, because it's simply, see, it says down there, simply a safer way to good health. I wonder if that's the later edition. I wonder, do they have look inside? No. So maybe you look at the, you know, 20 used or new from.
Okay, we can dig around a little bit.
It looks like the same. It looks like the same book, just a later edition. Because I mean, I got this a long time ago. Let's see what this. But this is 2002, and it has inside painful disorders. I wonder if it says anything here about. There you have $16 used, acceptable. A little bit of wear. I buy a lot of books used. Let's see what it says here. I think it's the same book. Fully effective way.
Looks like there's some fold-out charts you can get for like $7.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, I feel like it's a nice things to have, like to have around for various things. I don't know if, let's look up to see if they have like blood pressure. You can tell this is old. The guy looks like old school. He's got an old school hairstyle. And it talks about pain. Let's see. Units of measurement. A lot of the painful disorders. I'm looking to see if there's an index of conditions like skin, chest, heart and circulatory, 3.1. And they may have some things, you know, to help with blood pressure and with circulation. Okay. There's angina. That's the only one. So Raynaud's disease, who has Raynaud's, they have some points that you can work on for circulation for Raynaud's. High blood pressure. So, you know, it's certainly worth looking at if it look, because it does look like the same book. As what I have, it just has a difference. And it says mastering acupuncture, safe no needle acupuncture and microcurrent. And this was an effective guide to electroacupuncture. Does it say the person's name? This guy's like Kenyan is his name. Both professional and home use. Yeah, if you can get a used version of that, I get it, Jay, because I think it's the same book. I think it's the same book, and these are all newer because my book is old.
What was it again? Simply Safer?
Simply a Safer Way.
Simply a Safer Way, okay.
Yeah, and the author in here says Julian Jessel Kenyon, the Center for the Study of Complementary Medicine in the UK. And, you know, if you just do a Google search on it, you may see.
Yeah.
And it may say that this other one is the later version. Yeah. Oops. Okay. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? Oh, Lynn put up a thing. She got a chart. Oh, wait. This looks like I got this a few years ago. Let me see. Yeah, there it is. Lynn, how the hell do you find these things? $126. I think that it's the same book. I really do. And this one, the used, are $68. It's amazing how much books go up when they're out of print.
Yeah. What I got was, those acupuncture points charts with the Sujuk rings.
Hmm.
And then underneath it, I put the link to that.
Okay, good. Thank you.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's probably the same book. This is the one I have. That's exactly what I have. But for $126, you may get the used version for $16, and you probably get a lot.
It looks like it's the same thing to me.
Yeah, it looks the same. Same color scheme. This, yeah.
How many pages is it about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hard to say because they number them by chapters, but it's about...
It's like it's about 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably about 3/4, half to 3/4 of an inch thick. Maybe half inch thick. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put a plug into the acupuncture charts I got with these little rings because it helps you define the meridians as well as different areas, different conditions that could be affected by the different ones. And it talks about, you know, massaging your fingers each with rolling these rings up and down. Hmm. And it was pretty cool. It's helped me with.
So is that one of your links?
Yeah, it's the one that's right up above the book.
The one that's above the book. Okay.
Yeah, it says acupuncture points chart sujic rings.
Oh, I see. That's how I see it. The lower one, yeah. Let's see.
But, yeah, it has some pretty cool charts.
Let me see, share. There we go. Okay, this is what it looks like, Jay.
Oh, okay. Sujak rings.
Right.
I got you.
It looks a little bit more... that looks good that you have these particular things, but the charts look a little bit... You know, they may be daunting if you're not actually an acupuncturist or a practitioner.
Well, and I haven't looked at it in that detail, you know, like studied it. But what I thought was interesting, because these rings are kind of nice.
So the rings come with it?
The rings come with it, and it corresponds to certain meridians. And so you can use these rings So, like, if you're having a bladder infection or, you know, any different, I've used it at various times and found it to be.
Yeah, I mean, for $9, it's certainly worth getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything you can have that's a tool. The other thing that you used to not be able to get on Amazon, and I think you can now, are these pellets, A-C-U-P-O-I-N-T. You used to have to go to an acupuncture supply place and they wanted to see your license and the whole bit. But see these?
Yeah.
When we do next month, we'll look at the Korean hand thing. And I have a cool chart, which is over there somewhere. But I have a cool chart that shows you the different spots. It's my favorite chart because it's the easiest one to read. But it basically shows you the different points that you correspond to pain. And I've had things happen where I have somebody in the office and we're working on, like, I don't know, their back or whatever. And we find the points and I put a little pellet like this on it. And then I gave them a set of these pellets and some tape to hold it on. And I said, every day, I want you to put it on for an hour. Then you can take it off and then put it on every day. Because same thing with acupuncture. It works great when you're in China at the acupuncture hospital and they're treating all these acute things because they have you there and you're doing it every day. So with this Korean hand thing, you can do it every day to yourself. And you can help yourself over these pain syndromes. And what happened was this one woman went home with the chart and she goes, a couple of days later, she calls me up and she goes, I've got this pain in my jaw. You know, can I use this thing? And I went, okay, look, let's look it up. Feel around that part. She does it. Oh, it hurts. So she puts the pellets on there and her TMJ pain went away. Right. So it's a really nice thing. We'll talk more about it next month when we do the energetics. Make sense? Yeah, so all of these are good. Just make sure you get the ones that are pellets rather than needles because the needles hurt. They have these things that are little spiral needles and you're not going to like those. But the pellets are easy and you just put them on and you can use them on your ears. You can use them on your hands.
Do they call them seeds?
You can call them ear seeds these ear seeds. This one calls them ear seeds. Yeah, ear seeds they're calling them, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Use an acupuncture chart?
Well, what I use is, let me go back to this here. This chart, that's the Korean hand acupuncture. That's in your... Where did it go? Okay, this one I think is it. Nope. This one maybe. I have too many. Ah, here we go. So this is in, if you go to the bioenergetics module, there's three charts, the Korean hand acupuncture charts, but also the ear. Like you can look up and find different parts of your body and put the pellet on the ear. But then on the hand, you can find the different body parts on your hand. I usually use to poke it either the tip of a pen. This is an expensive iPad pen, but it's basically that kind of thing. The tip of a pen, or there's this thing you can get at like Hobby Lobby or some, or Michael's or something. That's basically an embosser tool, and it's got a little knobby thing at the end, and you just poke it at the different spots and you go, oh, that one hurts, right? And then you can put the pellet on the ones that hurt. And then you just do it every day. So this is one part of the hand. This is another. And that's the foot. So you can put them on any of those spots. That's moxibustion. That's when they're actually putting them on and then putting heat on those points. You're not going to do that. That's something that requires training. But there's
Dr. the... Dr. Marie?
Yeah.
So what are these pellets that you're talking about?
So if we go back to Amazon, let me see, right here.
What do you mean by pellet?
They're like, it's like a little tiny Band-Aid that's a little square that's maybe a quarter inch at the most. And In there is a little seed of some sort. I mean, you could technically use a chia seed if you wanted to, but it's organic. So if you start to sweat, it might start to swell and you'll grow chia strands out of your fingers. So you use something that's not organic. So they call it.
So it's just this, oops.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's just this little seed and it just puts pressure on there?
Yeah, it puts pressure on that spot. And you can just leave it on for an hour. You can, if you want, you can get on there with your finger and rotate in there a little bit.
All right. Yeah. I wasn't understanding.
They're very inexpensive, like $7.99 for how many? 10 sheets. Right, so it's real inexpensive, and it's a nice way to work with you. And we'll go through more of that next month's class. But or you can just go through the bioenergetics, watch my video, and I talk a bunch about it.
These might be really nice if you get like Charlie horses or muscle cramps, foot cramps, things like that at night, especially to put right on that governing vessel point right here between your I usually, when I get that, I take the edge of my nail and just like dig it in there. Like I'm leaving it.
This might be a little more like sustainable, right?
Just pointing that.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, so like women with morning sickness, you can put them over the points that are related to morning sickness. And it's similar in this book, this Simply a Safer Way book. If it's giving you specific therapies on specific meridians to put pressure, you can use the electronic pointer thing to do it, but you can also put some of these pellets on those points and just leave them there, for an hour at a time. So there's a lot of ways that you can use this stuff to try to get yourself relief. So say you have a migraine, right? You'd look up, okay, what are some of the points that I can use for migraine? Sometimes it's just like, okay, I have this headache and one of them is here and one of the points is here and you put them on. But sometimes it's like, well, this migraine might be related to the large intestine meridian. So we're going to put one here. It might be related to this or that. And you can put them on different parts of your body as well as your fingers. They're mostly done for ears and for the hands. But they can be used very well for other parts, to take. It's self-care, right? It's all about self-care.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good discussion. Thanks, Jay, for getting us off to that. It's good stuff. Anybody else? Questions or comments?
I have one of the massage balls.
Yes.
It's the yoga tune-up ball that Claudia recommended when we did the vision course.
Yeah, and you can use that for trigger points in various parts of the body. And they're not expensive. Like $10 or $20 for a set of two or something
like that.
Yeah, it's really nice to have your toolkit full of stuff that you can do, like. You wake up in the middle of the night with pain rather than reaching for the ibuprofen, which is just going to burn a hole in your stomach and not really help, is to really get the root cause and treating those different spots. So, yeah. Cool. Anybody else? Questions or comments? We're good? Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, if with an experienced acupuncturist, some of the pain you were having post-surgical, Donna, I mean, it was obviously caused by an infection, but, you know, acupuncture can help. But if you don't like needles, a lot of people don't want to get poked, right? To be able to look up some of these things and say, well, it's not going to be as effective if it's not needles when it's something that acute, right? Because it needs to go deeper. But for most things, there's some great relief with these techniques.
So what about, like, you know, so after surgery, you know, they kind of took some meat and kind of put it somewhere else and attached it. And so it's not really the stuff that would have been there. So how would I know where to put it?
So they took some, like they took tissue and they put it in different spot to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so they reattached things, you know, to make it look like it's supposed to be there.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So where is it? Like, that's like what the embryological origin of that tissue. Maybe it's in your breast now, but it started out on your toes. Like, well, do you treat the acupuncture point related to your toes or to your breast? That's the amazing question. I've never heard anybody ask that before. That's a funny question. But yeah, I mean, you never know. So I just say do both.
The misses with your head too much.
Yeah.
Well, because, like, I'm still having pain from, you know, things just, like, I had the weirdest pain last night. I was laying there, and I went to go lay on my left side, and the shooting pain, you know, because it's, you know, has to attach on my sides, and, mm-hmm. you know, like, under your arm and stuff like that, and so it was very sore, and it was a shooting pain. I hadn't felt that one at all, uh-huh. ever.
And it just, like, did it come and go, or was it just a
No, that was just, like, weird.
I was weird because you moved in a certain weird way that, yeah.
I moved that way all the time. So it was really weird. So I just laid on my back, like, okay. I won't go there again.
Don't do that again. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but it's, you know, the doctor said it would take, you know, quite a while for it to, fully reattach and fully become, you know, the new part of you again.
The new part of that part of you. Get used to being there, right? Yeah. So if ever you get a feeling that feels like it's your toe hurting and you go there and you go, wait a minute, maybe it's not.
It's not quite that bad. You're probably like freaking Jay out here.
I'm okay. If you're okay, I'm okay.
Still, you know, and the broken toe too, so.
Okay, so did that cover you guys? Do you have some tools, Sarah? Do you feel like you have some tools for dealing with some of the back stuff and, you know, self-care tools? It's not going to break the bank that you have to go to the acupuncturist and the chiropractor and the massage therapist 3 times a day for the rest of your life, right?
Right. No, it's really, really good because now I can get to some of those places.
Get to some. Yeah, those Theracanes are amazing. There's another one that says like a squeezy thing and you can hold it up against your neck and go squeeze, squeeze. I mean, it's kind of fun to go to these conferences where they have all the tools. I go crazy sometimes and I buy a bunch of stuff and I go, why am I buying all this stuff? What am I going to do with all this stuff? But yeah. Okay,
and
cool.
I like all those little acupressure points too, because you can do that anywhere you are, you know.
Yes.
If you know which place in the hand or foot or whatever.
Look for, if you are interested in that portable, like if you do get pain, like, oh, where's that? You can get them that look like business cards that have the charts of the acupuncture points and stuff. So it's like you could keep it in your wallet and just pull it out if you get a pain sitting on a plane and you can go, oh, let me just take care of that one. I'm going to take care of that one. Yeah. Yeah. Good. I'm glad this was helpful. Lynn, do you have anything to add? No.
No, I guess if anything, I'd refer back to your herbs and things at the beginning, like horsetail. That's my herb of the month is horsetail. And because I'm taking this course and it's called Materia Medica Monthly, and our herb this month is on horsetail. And so I was really interested to see that this is what we were doing and that, you know, and just learning to emphasize some of those other things that we can use. along with the external tools.
Right. Right. It's both. It's the whole body. It's the energetics. It's the physical, the musculoskeletal. It's the chemical, like we're all, and then there's the emotional, right? So there's all these pieces that put us together. And when we look at balancing all of it, which is why we're here doing a lot of the balancing, we have to look at balancing what's up and, you know, what's the emotional underpinnings for a particular condition? What, you know, what are the acupuncture pieces? Horsetail, I will mention that it's important to know with horsetail, don't generally, I mean, if you do it every now and then, it's not a big deal, but don't like just dump it into a smoothie without boiling the water, pouring the water over it and infusing it, because raw horsetail actually has a vitamin B1 antagonist in it. So you can antagonize your vitamin B1. So I used to just do it, and then I started researching and found this out. I'm like, ooh. So what I'll do with the horsetail is I have to show you guys my new herb setup in my kitchen. It's so exciting. I love it. I did a little demo of it on one of the Sweet Spot live calls, like a live Facebook Live. But I really organized my stuff into these little pull-out baskets, and I have this just really nice herb corner. So I can go, oh, what does my body need today? I think I'm going to take some horsetail, and I'm going to boil some water. I'm going to make an infusion, and then I'm going to add these things to my smoothie, and then I'm going to take the horsetail with the leaves, with the water, and pour all that in and blend it up. Then after it's been heated, and it only has to heat for like 10 or 15 minutes, just an infusion. It doesn't have to boil. And then you get the best of all worlds.
What about a tincture form?
Tincture, you're not going to get the mineral benefits of it because it doesn't extract as well. You're really, the best way to do it is actually using the whole leaves, doing the infusion, but then using the leaves as well. Because you leave, even when you do a water extraction, you leave a lot of the mineral behind in the actual tissue. Like, think about it, that's the plant skeleton, and that's where a lot of those structural minerals lie.
So do you just eat that too?
Yeah, I just throw it all in the smoothie and blend it all up together, and or a soup. It doesn't have a taste to speak of. It's really very mild, so you don't really, it doesn't bother you. Have to maybe add, well, you add the water from the horsetail tincture, so from the infusion. So it's really pretty straightforward. And especially since it doesn't need to go very long, you can start the water boiling, pour it over the horsetail, then go about making the rest of your smoothie or soup or whatever you're making, and then just add the horsetail to it and get it go. It's pretty quick.
That's good to know. I thought I had to do it overnight. I've been doing it overnight.
You don't have to.
So much better.
Yeah. Yeah, if you do it overnight, you don't even have to put hot water in it. Well, with horsetail, you do. Never mind. For other herbs to draw it out, you don't. But you still want to boil the water, pour it over. You can leave it overnight if you want to, but you don't have to. Yeah. Makes it easier. Yeah.
So one thing that I was just looking at one of the papers, the one thing with horsetail, and again, like you said, this is short-term against long-term. So in the short-term, it's an astringent, and so it dries through that diuretic action it has. But in the long term, that's why it helps the joints become stronger, and they can become more elastic and flexible and fluid. But it says here, it's critical to remember that when we say dry, we aren't always referring to moisture content, but the quality of dryness. So the reason I bring this up is for us to pay attention to if we're dry or moist. And so if you have a tendency towards dryness, you want to be careful of something like horsetail so it doesn't overly dry you out.
And you can also combine it. That's the other thing with herbs. When you combine like an herb that's really drying, you can combine it with a moistening herb to get the benefit, as long as, you know, the benefits don't counteract with each other.
Right. So that was one thing. And also to be careful where you source it from, because it has an affinity for what's in the soil. So that's why it's really important to.
So it's a good source. Make
organic, well, like Mountain Rose or something like that. But yeah. So if you're harvesting it yourself, or if somebody else is harvesting it, you know, make sure they didn't just get it off of
the highway.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. which is unfortunate because, you know, like around here, asparagus is great. And they go digging for ditch asparagus. And I'm like, yeah, well, look what's
look what's going on around you, right, with all the pesticides that these farmers are spraying in the air. And yeah, you do have to be careful about that.
Right? Yeah.
But they are great. You know, it's just great to have all these foods. And I'll take you guys on a tour on one of our calls. I'll take you into my kitchen and show my really cool little way I've organized all the herbs. And I can just have them at my disposal close by. And I basically do a lot of that energetic testing or intuitive. I'll go, no, not that today. And then if I'm not sure, then I do the sway testing to see if my body goes forward or back. But a lot of times I just get this intuition about certain things. And I just go for what my body is feeling like it needs. Like today, what would I do? Or was it yesterday? I ended up doing combination. I did the horsetail. No, the horsetail didn't show. It was nettles and alfalfa plus a protein, the collagen protein powder. But yesterday my body wanted the chocolate and today it wanted the vanilla. Go figure, right? And then there was a greens powder that it was like craving. And I did some broccoli sprout powder. But yesterday, the broccoli sprout powder, my body didn't want it, wanted the kale powder. So I just kind of do this intuitive thing. And sometimes when you do this a lot and you trust your body, you can just reach to something and go, I don't think I want that today. Or yeah, I do want this today, right? And just really kind of trust that. And it's fun because you get to vary your smoothies, vary your juices, vary your spices even, right? You can take the various herbs and add like some extra spices to make it your nice spice blend to make things flavorful. So it's a really cool, it's just good to do that. And that's why I like having my herbs around me in the kitchen. But before it was this disastrous mess and I didn't even know what I had. I just was all piled around. Lynn's been there and saw it. It was just a big mess. Right now it's just this nice organized compartmentalized. I spent about $75 on just little metal baskets and turntables from Amazon, but it was well worth it to have this like peace of mind. Yeah.
Anybody else? Yeah, I wanted to ask Lynn, are nettles and alfalfa astringent as well, or are they different from the horsetail?
Nettles are definitely different. Alfalfa is not an astringent at all. Neither one are astringents. But they're also, they can mix in well with, they can actually work out really well with the horsetail.
Yeah.
That's why the horsetail is such a good diuretic, like if you have a urinary tract type infection or any urinary, in fact, I was just reading that again. Yeah. Horsetail proves to be a useful tonic for the whole urinary system as it holds anti-inflammatory and antibacterial virtues, which helps to keep infections at bay along with its diuretic and astringent properties. So,
And when you're looking at moisture, like some of this stuff like aloe vera, that would be a really moistening type of herb. So you might even put a little bit of aloe vera, especially if you have a fresh plant, to scoop out some of the aloe vera. If you have a tendency to diarrhea, just be careful. Don't get too close to the leaf because that right underneath the leaf, like if you have the big thick leaf and you open it, the stuff right underneath it tends to be where a lot of the laxative effect is. But if you just scoop out the middle, you put it in there, that'll moisten it. And some of the other things like your chia seeds, right? They're more moistening. So there's other things like that that you can throw in there to balance it if you tend to be dry. And if you tend to be too moist, you know, like soggy and sensitive to mold and all that, then a drying herb is actually good for you.
Yeah, this is what it was saying too over the long run. So in the short term, you've got this one effect, but if you take it for a length of time, it actually improves the flexibility of the joints.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the other thing. And you were talking too about the doctrine of signatures because it looks like bones, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things to look for. It. If you do go to harvest it yourself, it's really better to harvest it in the springtime because, if you have this young plant and you break the seal between the joints, there's still an elastic material within it. And so if you actually roll the joint between your fingers, you'll notice it flexes kind of like you would want your knee or your joint to flex. And so that's just another indication you want to use the young plant rather than the old plant.
Anybody know what horsetail actually looks like other than this grassy looking stuff? Because I can show you. It has this really, it really does look like horsetails. When you look at it, I'll pull this up. Images. Yeah, and you can actually, it does like have this look. Here, let me see if I can share this screen with you guys. Share screen. Find a really good picture. Equisetum is the name for it.
Yeah, there you go.
And she's talking about that joint thing, is these little, you see?
Yeah,
these
right, exactly.
Joints.
Yeah.
Looks like asparagus.
Yeah, it does in here. This one doesn't have the little fringy pieces to it. When you get it dried, you see a lot of the fringy, and it really does look like a horse's tail.
So you want to get it. That's older. I have a picture of one that's a little younger, if you want me to
show it. Go ahead.
Show that.
Yeah, please do.
And again, this is from my course and what they're encouraging us to use. Share.
When you buy it, you can buy it as cut and sifted, which would be just these little pieces, or you can buy the whole.
Yeah. So you can see if you look real close, right in here, you'll see the smaller digits in the joints. So this is what it, and this is where it really looks like a horse's tail, because of the needles that come out from it. But this is what it looks like as it's young, and that's when you really want to get it, is when it's young, because it is more flexible. It has more of that sap within it.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know when you're buying it dried, so.
Right.
Always ask. Right.
So.
And if you plant it, I don't know what kind of growing environment it needs. Do you?
Yeah. You know, I don't ever plant anything. It just grows because I need it. And let's see here.
There's a book by Christopher Hobbs. And mm-hmm. I was just reading it on the plane yesterday on my way home. And it's called, let me see if I can find the name of it. Grow It, Heal It. Grow It, Heal It, Natural. Let me see, beginning of the book. It's called Grow It, Heal It. Oh, Grow It, Heal It. That's the name of the book. And then the subtitle is Natural and Effective Herbal Remedies from Your Garden or Windowsill. So he actually teaches you how to actually grow a lot of these plants, either outdoors in a box or on your patio in a box. Unless you probably, and I know that your husband does all the, you know, he's big into growing his own herbs and tincturing them, so.
Well, and you would be less likely to have it because Paul and I would have it because it grows, and Sandra, Donna probably would too because it's more of a northern, it needs more of that northern temperature, that hardiness, and that's what makes it hardy. But it really doesn't need a whole lot. It needs a more moist, darker soil. Versus a red or a sandy soil. So it just grows. Mm-hmm. But again, it's really in the springtime that you want to get it.
Good to know.
And like I said, you just want to be careful where you get it from.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So Jay and I are unlikely, and Sarah, because we're so far south, it's not likely to be growing wild by us.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but it's...
Right. Would oat straw balance out that dryness?
Yeah. Definitely. Because I know you've got that one particular formulation you like to use with horsetail and oat straw.
Horsetail, oat straw, nettles, and alfalfa.
and alfalfa.
Nice combination of, you know, things. And David Winston came up with that formula, and he used to give people bags of it, you know, when he'd come in and see them. And they were like, can't we just take this in pills? He was like, why would you want to take it in pills? Like, let's take the real food. And finally, enough people asked, so we made them into pills, and it like costs a fortune. You have to take a big old handful of pills just to get the same amount of the herb, but that's what they wanted. So he has an herb you can buy in capsules called osteo herb, and that's what he calls it. And it's that combination. But, you know, it's so inexpensive on Mountain Rose to get, like, you get a pound bag of this stuff for like $12 or $15. So you have a lifetime supply of this. And I used to make up bags of them, and I'd sell them to people when I was doing a practice here, and people would come by and I had this bag and it'd say what was in it, and they'd take it away with them. And a friend of mine once took it away with her, and she just threw it in the back seat of her car. She was heading down to South Texas for a wedding, and she threw it in the back of the seat of the car. And so right at the border, and her son and his friend decided to go to the beach, and they had to cross the border into Mexico to go to the beach. And they're on their way back in, and the border patrol is like, hey boys, what you got back there? You know, they just see this bag of green stuff on the thing, and they're like, what you got back there? And he's going like, oh my God, what is my mother? What my mom? You know, he's freaking out. And fortunately, I had put my label on it, had my name, and it had what was in it. And he said, okay, you can go. Like the kid, he was just gotten his license, and he was like freaking out that he was going to get arrested. And what did mom and dad do to him? And were his mom into drugs? And it's crazy.
Anyway. So I have a little, it gives us different formulations to use, and one of them is a rebuilding formula. And so this is your good remineralizing herbs, and it's said to build up a weak and atrophied system. And so they said this is good to use 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off. So in the 2 weeks off, you can supplement like with that one broth you have in the grand program in your recipe collection. So it's 20% horsetail, 20% nettle leaf, 20% dandelion leaf, 20% alfalfa, 10% comfrey, and 10% kelp or other sea vegetables.
Hmm.
And so you put this formulation together and
make an infusion out of it?
And make an infusion out of it, yeah.
Sounds good, because it's got the structural and the remineralizing. It's got some dandelion for the liver, and then comfrey, which is really good for healing. It's really good for healing bones, actually.
But you have to
be only
bone, teeth, your connective tissue.
What was the fifth one?
So I've got horsetail nettle, dandelion, alfalfa, comfrey, and kelp or other sea vegetables.
And kelp, and then you got much more mineralization and iodine and all that. So that sounds like a great formula.
Yeah.
Can you put that formula in the chat?
Okay.
Yeah. And so when you get a formula that has a percentage, so what you do is you just, you know, you measure out like, mm-hmm. yeah, right. Okay, good. I don't have to explain the math. Good. Great. Anybody else? Oh, there's good. I want to get that too. I like it. I have all those things. I might as well.
Yeah. I was just looking through this, actually earlier today. I mean, he has a nutritive tonic, and this is the one you would do as an extraction in vinegar. There's a
this one that you just put in is
no a different vinegar? There's a different one, and he has a connective tissue tonic that has Solomon's seal, horsetail, nettle leaf, bone set, cayenne, and lobelia.
Nice.
So yeah, this is when I start having fun. And if anybody has kidney issues, he's got a bunch of them here. There's one for an enlarged prostate. There's a leaky gut tea. It's calendula, plantain, horsetail, peppermint, chamomile, marshmallow, and yarrow. So you've got your astringent, your vulnerary, your inflammation modulating remedies. You've got, which is your calendula, plantain, horsetail, and yarrow. And then you've got your carminative with your peppermint and chamomile. And then plantain and marshmallow are your demulcents. So it's, again, that moisture with the dry remedies.
Cool.
So, yeah. And so I thought it was really interesting when you were talking. I was like, oh, yeah, I was studying this.
All right. Sounds like a good course.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. All right, guys, I'm going to go. I hear my husband in the kitchen. I'm hoping he's making
that. Is that who's making all that noise?
Sorry, Dr. Rita Marie. I RSVP and today and yesterday, actually. And I wanted to do a quick look on my biome test. I didn't interrupt because you guys called for that,
but we can do it. This was specifically an educational call for the module.
Yeah. No,
so we'll put it on the next one next week. We can do it.
But she's going to be gone.
I'm leaving tomorrow.
What's that?
I'm leaving tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even look at those RSVP things because she shouldn't put them in these ones for uploading labs because
it's just a quick overlook. It was interesting.
Yeah, let me see.
If you have a 5 minutes.
All right, I'm signing off. Goodbye.
All right, we'll see you later, Jay. Bye-bye. Let me see what I can do. My computer is starting to, get really sluggish here. So let me see if I can.
I know you said you had some changes in it that you thought were interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so I just wanted to see what you thought about it.
Okay. All right. It's going to take a little while because the computer is going to need a reboot. La-di-da-di-da-di-da-di-da. It's opening up the Google Drive. When do you leave?
Tomorrow.
Oh, my. You already?
No.
You're driving?
Well, we're flying to Albuquerque and driving to Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a drive.
Well, it's going to be 2 and something weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then why'd you decide to drive to Albuquerque and then fly to Albuerque and then drive versus just...
Well, because we're doing this long trip across the country. So we leave the car in a city and then we come back and pick it up and continue.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're not staying in Las Vegas, you're driving.
No.
Okay, so I've got it here, and let me share my screen. Is it okay if I share my screen?
Oh, of course, sure.
Okay. Okay, it's taking its time to get back to the... Okay, here we go, share. Here we go. I like the picture. Imagine a world where it's optional.
I think that's the old one you
it's
have.
The old one? Oh, no.
Yeah. I attach it to the RSVP.
Yeah. You should always put them in your folder because it's easier.
Otherwise, it's under newest tests.
It's under newest tests. Okay, let me go back there. If it's there, it's easier to find.
And then it's another folder, Core Biome, there.
Okay.
And there you have them. The recommendations and the results.
Okay, so let's look at the results first. Okay, so metabolic fitness is low. Get some microbes there. I just wish they'd give more info about what it means. Metabolic richness is low. We need more diversity, basically. Okay, so my active... You've been doing mostly Bifido, right?
Yeah, but there's not none. The only thing I have right now is bacteria and... I have four vegetable viruses, tomato, pepper, garlic, and peas.
Hmm.
Can I ask a question? How do you get a virus that's actually a plant virus? I'm just confused how you can have a tomato leaf virus, because this is a virus that affects a tomato. So how do you get that? That's, I am just confused. Yeah,
I have no idea. But, you know, it's possible, or whatever, I don't know, eating the vegetable might exacerbate.
You know, here's the thing with this test. I'm not a big fan. I never order them, mainly because they're not good at explaining the science behind it. I mean, they keep it behind locked doors. Like, why do they make these recommendations? And it's very, you know, it's just not.
Well, I think it has things that are worth looking.
I'm sure it has some things that are worth it. Let me see if I can get back there to the results one.
So I was doing
low richness and low diversity. So that's basically what I'm getting. There's a lot of
avoiding nightshades, but it looks like maybe if I just avoid tomatoes and peppers, it might be okay.
What about allergies? What about viruses? Who does it say? You may see some foods placed in your avoid list due to viruses. Viruses are known to infect foods and have been associated with inflammatory response. So you suggest that temporarily avoiding the virus-related foods for 3 to 4 weeks may be efficient. So it's basically saying that you're getting these viruses from these foods, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I have no other things besides bacteria and these viruses.
That's why your diversity is low. So this is your superfoods, bananas. Okay, bone broth, egg, and ghee, and kale.
Lamb? Did I see lamb?
Yeah.
Ghee contains butyrate, so they're basically saying ghee for butyrate. Okay. Olives are superfood.
Oregano.
Sunflower seeds. Tarragon. You got a lot of superfoods. I don't remember you having this many the last time.
No.
Foods to avoid would be almonds. Was that there last time?
No, it was a different one. That one, yeah, they said that the almonds and the
phytic acid, but a lot of things contain phytic acid, so I single out almonds. Bell peppers, cashews, that these types of sugars might be over fermenting. Do you do a lot of cashews? Cauliflower, I think, was there last time. I remember that.
No, it wasn't.
No, maybe I'm thinking of Paula. Was that on yours, Paula?
Yeah,
no?
I was doing a lot of cauliflower and cashews.
Yeah. I mean, so you can take this list and you can avoid the things they say to avoid. And then just see what happens. You know, avoid it for a month or two and then come back and come back. So, you know, if you eat variety, you're probably, you know, some of these you might be minimizing. But, yeah, so how can I help you with this? Like I said.
Well, I just wanted to run it by you. And then at the end, they recommend the digestive enzymes and another thing that is for irritable bowel, I think it is.
Okay, so digestive
SDW5.
What is SDW5?
It's a digestive support.
Is it their digestive support or somebody?
No, it's how it's called, but it's not a brand.
Huh. I don't, it's not familiar.
I have no idea where that is.
No. Do you want to tell me more about it, Lynn? You know, seem to know about it. I've never heard of it.
It's Ibarogast.
Oh, okay.
Is what?
Ibarogast.
It's a particular herb that helps to break down gas and the gut. So digestive enzymes. Have you been taking digestive enzymes?
Oh, yeah.
Where did it go? I'm sorry, it disappeared. I have to open it again. Sounds like you made a stir fry.
Are you getting hungry?
Yeah. Had a smoothie this afternoon. Okay, so let me see. So the recommendations are, here we go. So these are two, digestive enzymes. And if you're already taking digestive enzymes, let me read more about this. You said that's just what it is. STW is ibarogast.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just look at that. Sorry, I can't get this to work. Okay.
Well, I'm not going to start it that until I come back.
Yeah, I wouldn't start anything until you come back.
The digestive enzymes, I already...
Yeah, keep doing them. Nine medicinal... Oh, it's a combination. It's made for IBS. So, yeah, I mean, that could certainly be helpful for you, but again, no way. Because when you start stuff that's geared towards changing your gut bugs or to... This is made by Bayer. I wouldn't get it.
No. Well, now it's made by Bayer. It didn't used to be. It's actually a fairly herbal product. It was not originally made by Bayer.
I just don't trust them.
Well, I'm saying it's unfortunate that something that was once really good.
It's a registered trademark. So, and they have.
But if you look under that STW5, there appear many other things. That's not the only one.
Okay, so it looks like it's a trademark, but maybe there's another, like they do generics and drugs, right? I don't know about Candy Tuff, but all the rest of this, Angelica, Chamomile, Caraway, Mary's Thistle, Lemon Balm, Peppermint, Celandine, and Licorice are all really calming to the digestive tract. Angelica is actually something, Angelica sinensis anyway, is Don Quai, but it's moistening for the stool. Mm-hmm. Caraway is a carminative, so it helps to break down gas. Chamomile is calming. Lemon balm is calming. Peppermint is menthol and can help to relax the muscles. Celandine helps to move bile. And of course, licorice, we know licorice, you know, that can be very soothing to the endotheliums. So it sounds like a good one. I would look for one that's not made by Bayer just personally, but I would want to see what else they put in there.
Ibarogast, which is also known as STW5, is a liquid formulation of nine herbs. It's a proprietary blend. It was originally developed in Germany in 1961. So, and its name, the ibarogast, comes from the candy tuft, which... The Latin name is Iberis.
Okay. I just want to make sure, like once a company like Bayer takes over, what are the non-active ingredients in there? That's what I would. Right. What are they putting in there as a carrier? Because they don't, you know, they're not very smart about. I'm going to buy FAQ. Let's see what the other ingredients are. What package?
It was bought in 2013. By Bayer.
It contains alcohol. Let's see. Probably not organic alcohol. Ibarogast because it helps extract, of course, right? Small amount of alcohol. How is it made? Let's see. Is it tinctured? Is it done a typical alcohol extraction? Of course, it's the same menu. Patent protection process. GMP, plant material,
blah, blah, blah.
Pretty much blah. It's all blah, blah, blah. Exactly. I want to see the ingredient list. How do you find it?
Maybe it should have a label.
Yeah, you should. Maybe I can look that up in making it references.
Huh. Well, I can look.
I would love to know why they recommended this in particular for you. Is that a generic recommendation, right? That's on almost everybody's, or is it really specific to your...
No, I think it's specific to me, and I think it refers to sometimes I could oscillate between constipation and diarrhea.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it certainly can be helped. All those herbs are wonderful, right? My only, just because I'm a skeptic when it comes to drug companies, it's mm-hmm. like, what are the ingredients? Let's see.
Yeah.
Sandra, after you sent in your sample, how long did it take for you to get your results?
Oh, this time it took forever.
Yeah?
Forever.
That's a familiar story.
Yes, took like 3 months, didn't it, Paula?
Yeah, yeah, September, no, it didn't January.
3 months for me, but you probably sent it in the middle when they were changing.
Yes, I did. Uh-huh. I sent it in right before they stopped processing things.
I bought a kit right after one of those like, I don't know, interconnected or something. And they did this interview and they showed these beautiful things. And I thought, oh, I'll finally understand why they're making certain recommendations. But you guys get your reports and it's the same old, no explanation.
Well, they're explaining more than before.
They did?
I think. No, I mean, none. At least on the foods to avoid and the foods to, you know, superfoods.
Yeah, but it's why. I want to know why. Here we go. Let's see.
It contains alcohol, which is used to extract the active ingredients to make the product more beneficial.
Is that all? Okay, that's not bad then. I'm just was concerned that they'd have like red dye number 3 to make it look pretty and, you know what I mean? Like artificial flavor to cover up the flavor of the herbs because they're bitter. Oh. That's what I would be concerned about. But maybe they just took this and just didn't do anything.
There's a couple of customers on Amazon who posted pictures of the label.
Yeah, I see it now. And it just says the other ingredient is ethanol. So, I mean, I certainly don't see a problem with taking it and then your digestive enzymes and see what happens. I think
they also suggested avoiding probiotics for the time being.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that. Well, the only one you're on right now is Bifido. And that's more of a generic recommendation is to avoid that. But when you have an irritable bowel or the possibility of SIBO. So,
but there's none in my gut, even if I.
Well, I don't know. Is that everything in the gut, or is that just selective ones? Because
everything. Because well, you don't see it in the report. You can on the program you can click on probiotics.
So you have it in your IC. So there's an app that comes with it that
the report
doesn't.
Probiotics or whatever, nothing. The other ones, nothing. So
they actually show zero or they just not show them?
Yeah.
They show zeros. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So even though you're taking all that, it's not going, not making it down that way. You know, for a lot of people, when that happens, I often recommend a suppository of probiotics, right? So you basically get those suppository molds. And you mix up the probiotics that you want to implant. And then you can do anything that really seem to need because you don't have to risk it getting stuck somewhere along the way. Mm-hmm. And you make those little using cocoa butter and then you just put them up the rectum. You could also do probiotic implants with enemas, but people find that a lot more distasteful, you know, to do that because you have to clean out the colon first. You have to do the whole enema like you did during the liver cleanse. And then you have to put it in and the way you held the coffee, you would hold the probiotic part. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's another way to do it as well. So an enema or a suppository. And then that way you get the best of both worlds. You don't have to worry about it going through the small intestine and getting stuck somewhere and aggravating and feeding the bugs.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be there, right? And then you still get some good implantation in your lower bowel. Yeah. But for now, you're going on vacation.
Yeah.
So we're not going to change anything because...
No.
I don't want you calling me from vacation going, I'm in the outhouse the whole time.
Yeah, I'm just going to follow the dietary guidelines.
Just see avoids, right? And any foods that they say are your superfoods, but you don't normally eat, I'd be careful. I'd be careful, especially if it's high glycemic food or it's something that you're not familiar with. You don't want to start adding new stuff, but definitely the avoids you can do.
Yeah.
Right. Don't sit around eating cashew butter and almond butter out of the jar. Maybe
not anymore.
You know, maybe that's why that showed up, right? Because you love to.
Yeah,
I love to do it too. So I understand.
You know, I really want to kind of reinforce what you just said there, because I think we're not kind to our bodies. Every day our body has to recalibrate so many things. And then you go on vacation and you have even more, and it's in a constant state of recalibration. And then you add in new foods, or you're just like, when you should be relaxing and just letting it down.
Yeah.
And just, that's what you want to focus on.
Yeah. Absolutely. And even if you do get some almonds or cashews or something, that it's so like, so what, right? You've been eating it all this time. It hasn't been. And long term, you want to do that period of avoidance.
Yeah.
But on vacation might be more to minimize as opposed to avoid, because there may be times when the stir fry is beautiful and it has some whatever shouldn't be in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They have a two-step thing. So in 45 days, not dates, they are going to be sending new food recommendations.
Oh, so without testing again, but just because it's a traditional. That's pretty good. I'd love to see the app. I don't know how I would see the app if it's on your phone or whatever, but I'd love to see what the app actually does.
If you want, you can, or you can log into your computer. I can give you my username and my password if you want.
I would love to, because I'd like to see it, because right now I have this kind of negative bias towards the test, because I don't really like these reports the way they work. So, and maybe if I saw the app, I would feel more like, oh, wow, this has a lot of good information.
I'm going to text you my credentials.
Okay. Yeah. You can do it here, or you can do it to my email.
What would you prefer?
Well, you know, I don't think you want everybody in the world to have your
credentials. I'm doing it just to you.
Oh, just to me. Okay, great. Yeah, I'll take it down there and I'll copy it in and use it. Because I would like to see that and look at it in more of a controlled way. Because I find their report overwhelming. You know, maybe it's just me, but I find this like just lists and lists and lists and lists of bugs. And then here's what you should eat and here's what you shouldn't. And to me, it's just like, wait, how did we make this leap from here to there?
And like I said, I don't understand how you can have a virus that exists on a tomato leaf, how suddenly you have this affecting you.
I want to understand that more. Maybe they explain it. Okay, so, and it's you, it's biome.com. Is that where I go?
I'm going to put
this in my chat box over here off of, so good. So if I go to this, I have this little box for myself that transfer things from computer to phone to whatever, but my computer's starting to die. So let me, hopefully I get this here. Oh man. I'm just going to write it down the old-fashioned way because, okay, wait, maybe it just did it. Maybe it just opened. No. Okay. So it's S. Now I can't even see it anymore. Oh boy. There's a black thing covering it. I'm going to have you. There
you
we go.
You want me to? Oh, you have it.
Okay. S. Those last two, is it a lowercase LL for?
Yes.
Okay. It's hard to tell. All right. I got that and it's Viome. Okay. I'll look at that and see what I can come up with, because I'm interested in it and I just haven't gotten around to doing my own test, mainly because I'm going to do it and I'm going to wait 3 months to get it. And I just have this like, anyway, but I did order the test because I wanted to see the report. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Gotta go. Time for bed. Yay. Sarah, go to bed. All right, everybody, you have a wonderful time on your trip, Sandra.
Oh, thank
Enjoy
you.
And just relax and unwind and just, you know, really, really treat yourself, because I know you've had a lot of stress in the last few months and it's just really a good time for you to be going away. All right.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Bye,
Goodbye,
Paula.
Everybody.
Bye, Sandra. Bye, Sarah. Bye, Lynn. See you soon.
Have a great time, Sandra.